Going. Going.
Run, run. Run, run. Run, run.
Jumpa. Do you like that?
At the end of the last installment, we left Fred Dibner, the Bolton steeplejack, working in his backyard shed on the rusted wreck of a traction engine he'd just bought. His old steamroller, which he had geared to drive his machinery, had itself taken 14 years to do up. And a number of visitors who had witnessed that saga dropped in to see the beginning of the new one.
When we did that firebox over there, I went in local ironworks and said to my man, like, you know, have you any rabbiters left? And he said, all the good rabbiters are dead. So I said, well, have you not got any not so bad that are retired, you see? And he said, ah, yeah. And he gave me names and addresses of two people. And I went seeing them, like, and one of them, like, he were a bit, you know, getting on a bit, captain full strength man, you see. And he came down here, you know, just about, and sort of learned me, you know, a bit about the job. So that's how we ended up with all nice, beautiful stairs on that other one. Like, there's a great big patch in t'other side, you know.
Yeah, I've seen that. This here as well.
Wow, well, that's favourite, you see. All that plate's all one big piece.
Yeah.
And I think it was, like, near brew time when they made that one, you know. A build-up of pressure, you know? Why steam engines should never be left unattended, because it's in the rule book now, because they set off on their own,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, they do that one, just
it. Sort of be all right now when it's, you know, got rid of that, the belts come off again.
Next day, Fred went to fit a weathercock on a church up in the hills.
Mending church spires, you know, is nice and peaceful. Sort of, you know, there's nobody mithering you and there's no big wagons racing round bottom at church spire. And things a lot quieter and nicer, you know. And you forget all about the bloody world outside, you know, where everything's racing about like lunatics. Some of these church spires, they're very hard to get up, like there's all sorts of gargoyles sticking out of them and you can soon knock some off, you see. We don't want to do out like that, you know, like the vicar wouldn't be pleased. In the very olden days, you know, like these fellas who wanted to do something for the glory of God, you know, like stuck up a bloody great church spire. Majority of them round where we live, you know, 1870 odd and 1880s and round about that Victorian era. Most of them were erected by colliery owners and mill owners, and I think they built them for paved the way into heaven. You know, they weren't all bad men, but they lived on other people's misery, didn't they? You know. Everybody working hard, you know, digging bloody coal in a slit underground 2 foot thick, and sort of they lived in, you know, in beautiful mansions, you know. The few that made everybody else suffer. Do you like it?
It's very nice. Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. Well, how long did it take you to make?
Well, about 3 days, you know. A lot of sawing round here, see, yeah. And yeah. Drilling holes, like. Yeah. And then we couldn't get any gold leaf, you see. So Mr. Jordan got us some, which, you know, helped the job out. You know.
Well, where did he get it from?
Off some painter fella who'd got some, you know, hanging in store, yeah. Like. Right, Donald, where'd it go?
It must be a pretty precious commodity these days, wasn't it?
£12 a boot now. There's I mean, you can see it's only paper. Well, it's less than paper thick. Yeah. And it's not very good quality neither, compared with what they used to have in the olden days. Yeah. But it'll still last.
It'll be all right.
Oh, it'll last for 20 years. You know,
will it?
It'll still be twinkling about.
It'll be our time.
I'll go up there now and we'll see whether it spins round right or wrong.
All right. Do a bit of repair job on those louvers whilst you're at it.
Yeah, well, they're all rotten, them toppings. Sometimes when you're, you know, halfway up side of the tower, where you're climbing up the ladder, you know, bang, bang, bang sort of thing, and bloody great pigeon will come zooming out and nearly knock you off sort of style. Whatever I'm climbing up, I treat it with the greatest of respect because I know the damn thing will kill me if I don't. You know, I'm going to fall off and rattle down side of a big church spire and break a few at fancy bits off on my way, more than likely. And, you know, I'll be no more. It's like half a day out with the undertaker.
Has he got any
clothes?
No. Nothing at all.
To rely on it too much.
You know. I believe in God. I sometimes have a feeling that he might know me as, you know, that's him who climbs up these, you know, my church spires. Sort of some days he don't like me, I know, when it rains. You drive 20 miles to a big chimney and just get there and get up the top and the heavens open and you might as well have stopped at home in bed. Whereas, you know, on the other hand, you know, he don't let me fall off and things of that nature. Or drop anything and kill anybody, you know. My wife, Alison, says to me, you'll never fall off, you know, there's somebody watching you somewhere. She says, I'm better off up there than I am on floor, as you might say. Because quite often I trip over things on floor.
Right,
Donald,
send it up.
This particular weathercock, you know, I made in the backyard at home, sort of style. I once made Gabriel blowing his horn, but we made the horn part too narrow and the bloody thing fell off in a storm. So now it's a bit unbalanced and when it's blowing hard, it spins round like a windmill. Wonder a lot about what happens to you after you're dead, you know. But I don't know. There's lots of people with more brains than me who, you know, think that there is this wonderful place somewhere. My sort of ideal of heaven would be somewhere where nobody did any fighting, nobody were hungry, and there were plenty for everybody. You know, my little bit of it would be just to be left alone with a big pile of rusty steam engines and enough iron plate for mending, like, sort of thing. You know, it would be quite wonderful, that, you know, because you wouldn't have to worry about where your next dinner were going to come from, you know, and you could just get on with, you know, mending these ancient relics forever.
Thank you.
when I'm bored, I go drinking. Then I think Alison thinks like it'll keep me out of the pub, which it will, you know. Once I've got my teeth into it, it's no use going down the pub boozing because you never get a bloody job done, you know. It'll never be done. You know, you think, oh, I'll go for a pint and get with the lads and, oh, sod the bloody holes. Who the hell wants to go back working a ratchet drill, drilling 50 holes through inch-thick bloody iron, you know? Mind you, when you have had a pint or two, it takes the pain out of it, you know, it's not as hard. You know, if you get all holes marked out right first when you're sober, you know, and then, you know, I think really a lot of the, well, there were a lot of that went on in the olden days when they were, when the work were really hard and strenuous, you know. Now that I know how to do it, it's like you've served your apprenticeship in a way. You're not scratching your bloody head all the time. How the hell can I work this one out? And it'd be easy if you had a pot full of gold, you know, just to say, oh, I'll go and see such a body at such a big engineering works. And what you say, if you've not got a pot of gold, you've got to fathom some way out that you can do it the bloody primitive Victorian way, you know, the hard way, like they did it. You know, I rather think that I should have been born 100 years ago because, you know, everything they made, you know, everybody says, ah, the bad old days, you know, and all that. But you look at the material that them people produced and built and made, that even though they only got, a, you know, 25 bob a week and 18 and 6, the end product, there's no man could have made such wonderful stuff if he were, like, sick and tired, you know, like the, you know, that's the greater trouble today, isn't it? Everybody's sick with uninterest and boredom and sort of there's nothing going on, you know, like everything then were a challenge, you know, and if you were a bit of a dropout, even then, I suppose, you could have dropped out and gone in the bloody gin palaces that there were on every corner and sort of not involve yourself in how they did the work. Like the beautiful bloody... them mills, the cotton mills, the dark satanic mills, which sort of everybody says, oh, they're bloody ugly, you know. You go and look at the multi-storey car park downtown. And look at that! That is a million times more ugly than the most, you know, than the humblest cotton mill. And some of the most beautiful ones are magnificent, you know, like... And they thump them down in this town like bloody Skittles, you know. They, like all the present-day road roller builders, you know, they've all managed to compile books about the suffering of their ancestors. Poor buggers, they worked in sheds with dirt floors and sort of taskers in Hanover. They still knocked the rivets in by hand in 1917 and I've got, like, picture books in my house of all the lads lined up to have the fortitude with hammers over the shoulders and looking gaunt and white and big tashies and sort of union shirts on. And they made these things by hand, you know, in a shed less than what I've got, you know. They have practically no machinery at all. Everything were hard, you know. You know, if you've done it in this day and age, like I have, in practically the same way as them men did it, you appreciate what they had to bloody do every day, you know. And why they looked old and died before the time.
With the coming of brighter days, Fred left his labours behind and steamed off for weekends with the family. Thank you. Wherever he went, Fred was on the lookout for parts for his new engine. Few weeks passed without a visit to the scrapyard.
Well,
there is one. It's under there.
Is it deep?
No, it's not deep. Well, do you want me to carry you across?
No.
Yeah. I won't change extra for that.
Hey, when are you shifting that fly, Richard?
I don't know. I see if anybody's brought.
Got a little steam engine, and but the flywheel's ugly.
Is that a new one?
Oh, it's a new one. We've got it out of the mill at Oldham. It's a nicer one, that, than the one we've got, so... Mm. And it's about the same size, so I'll do you a swap. I'll swap you that one for... Heavy. Oh, aye, yeah, it's got a thicker rim.
It'll be worth a couple of quid in between
those. Bugger off.
Oh, yeah, that's you can't just...
What about the haulage job?
I'm worried about storage job. I've stored it.
Oh, yeah, it's been here for about 12 months now.
Right? Well, it's taken space for not since it's there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll see what we can do about that. Yeah, that drill works. Yeah. Hang on.
What sort of drill is that?
A big one. I think it's a friend. Here, Don.
It's not a drill. It's just...
No, we haven't got a machine big enough to turn that round. Half a
lathe,
though.
You need a machine,
don't you? Yeah. You'll not be getting any lathes, you know, in the near future.
Yeah, like, you know that, don't you? It could be an hitchhiker,
can't it? Yeah.
Let's have a look down here.
Yeah.
Huh? You never know.
Yeah.
What about one of them?
Yeah,
I might see them.
Fred also found some useful things in less likely places.
You'll be all right, that, Moog.
Well, what do you think about it?
Well, when we know we've got that big pot on,
yeah,
should be able to send smoke signals down to Bolton, down to your shop. I don't think you'll have any more bother with it, you know.
So we've solved the problem?
Yeah, I think we put plenty of paper in, fire hole and strike a match and see what happens, you know.
We'll try it and see.
Yeah, if it fills parlour up with smoke, we know we've failed again, like, you know. I think you'll be all right.
Listen, Fred. At my dry cleaning business, I got an old steam boiler, which I'm going to scrap.
Yeah.
Is it any interest to you?
Oh, I don't give it them, man. Like, you know, they'll only put the burner through it. You know, if we'll come down and have a look at it and sort of what sort is it like? You know,
it's a cross tube vertical boiler.
Well, just what we need, you see.
Okay, have a look at it.
Yeah.
And if it's any interest. Can have it, otherwise I'll have to scrap it.
No, we'll come and have a look. Don't worry, we'll come. I'll let you know our verdict in a minute or two. Bit of a steam leak, some. Hold on. Don't drop it. So it might, you know, whether it's any good or not, you know. it don't look so bad, like, you know. Can we have it for doing your chimney?
Yeah, you can have it.
Yeah, very good. Because, you see, it'll drive out a new steam engine, you know, a stationary one, instead of using our steamroller.
Okay.
And we'll fix it up, get it shifted, you know, out at road. I don't know when that'll be, but we'll shift it.
Church jobs are coming very handy, you know. They've not got a lot of money, like, but, you know, it makes a break from slogging your guts out up top of a big factory chimney. My first big break on steeplejacking came on a church, you know, like the canon of Bolton, like he took a shine to me sort of thing, and entrusted me to mend his church tower. And, like, I never looked back after that as far as vicars were concerned, you know. Some of these vicars are, you know, getting a bit of an off sometimes, like, where are you, when are you going to come? You know, you've had the job for 18 months sort of thing, and it doesn't work that way. I mean, they're speaking from the comfort and warmth of the vestry or the, you know, the vicarage, and don't seem to realise, like, it rains and it snows and blows and you can't get on with the damn thing.
Look very safe to me, this.
Quite a lot of them say, send you letters, you know, dear Mr. Dibner, like, you know, if you feel as though you can't get round to doing our job, you know, we'll get somebody else, like, sort of thing. But nearly always they end up, you know, with a bit of a clangor, you know, I think they'd be better waiting or biding the time a bit, you know. I mean, what's the point if your church spire's been raining in for 20 years? And because the pigeon muck's built up so much in the bell room and blocked all the bloody holes up where the water runs out, nobody's ever bothered shoveling that up, like, they think it's just started. And really, the rot's been in for donkey's years, but nobody's ever bothered, you know. And so, you know, they seem to think, like, you're there at home with your hammer in your hand and all your ladders just waiting for them to bring you up. Like, no, we're here, we'll, you know, finish the job and make them happy and, you know, prepare for the phone ringing from some other irate vicar somewhere else.
There's some big gaping nicks that chipping gallons of water. All that cast iron, it's not so safe. I don't really like being here.
This big iron ring around this clock face is rather loose, you know. It sort of really, it's only poverty and rust that's holding the damn thing up here, you know, and it could very easily turn like a wedding into a funeral, you know, or if it didn't, the bride would end up with two rings, like, you know, wedding ring and a big cast iron.
There's a bit of slack, Donald. Oh, aye, yeah. Things are bad. That bloody clock face, I could pull it off if I wanted. Yeah. You any sticks?
There's some big nicks, you know. No wonder it's raining in.
It's right over the door,
too. Yeah, but all that big load of cast iron, you know, I can shake it about, you know. Sort of something should
right
be done with that,
entrance.
Yeah. Well, it's like a lot of copper hooks making them about 18-inch centres all the way around it. And then, you know, at least it won't drop down and kill nobody, will it, you know? Which that's what could happen at present. Oh, better tell them the bad news. I wonder if they've any money.
Thank you.
So, week by week, work on the traction engine progressed. Fred worked in his shed every night. He was seldom seen out of his boiler suit, and never without his cap.
Well, I rather like my oily cap, you know. It has a smell all of its own, and sort of, it has been said, like, I've been in various pubs, and people have said to me, what's the flash point of your cap, you know? Sort of, I don't bloody know. You know, I know that if you... When I'm doing a bit of blacksmithing, occasionally I take it off and I get all the some hot iron and it sets on fire, you know, like so much oil in it. Which has happened on more than one occasion. But if I go on my holidays or out and I haven't got my cap, you know, I feel as though somebody shaved all top of my head, you know, like... I think it's really a replacement for her. You know, there's no doubt about it. There's something about it. On I think, about two or three occasions, I've been so inebriated after my days out with this load of old iron that I've actually ended up in bed with it on and sort of, you know, frequently sit on the toilet with the thing on, you know. To me, it's just something that stopped rain going on top of your head. I like caps, you know. Mark Phillips wears a cap, don't he? You know, why should I not bloody wear one?